It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, the House of Representatives passed a bill called the Unlocking Consumer Choice and Wireless Competition Act. As you might guess, it's about letting us request that our carriers unlock our cell phones so that, for instance, while traveling abroad, we don't need a whole new phone. Or maybe if we want to leave AT&T for Verizon and bring our phones with us, we can do that. The bill has yet to pass the Senate, but we wanted to unlock some of the issues involved. Here's our friend Cyrus Farivar of the website Ars Technica. Hey, Cyrus.
Hey, what's up?
Assuming this bill does pass the Senate, are advocates going to be happy?
I mean, I would say some of the activists that have been outspoken on this issue would say that this doesn't change this model of carrier subsidy that we have had in the U.S. for a long time. I lived in Germany for 2 years where prepaid service is the norm. And there's a lot more competition because you don't have nearly as many people on these fixed contracts. So if, you know, the next month you decide you want to switch from carrier A to carrier B, you can do that really, really easily. And here in the U.S., it's been really hard for people to do that. And consequently, we're all paying more.
What might we see in the final piece of legislation here, and how might it change the way that we as consumers do business with our carrier?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say how the bill will finally shake out, but I think something that is happening generally is that carriers are starting to see that, you know, consumers are hopefully being a little bit smarter. And now that they are armed with this tool of, you know, being able to take their phone from one carrier to another, that they really have to step up their game. And I think hopefully what we all care about is lowering prices.
Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor at the website Ars Technica. Cyrus, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Today, Lego announces earnings. The building blocks company from Denmark has inspired a ton of techie engineers over the years. It also has a big new movie out. As Lego rides the silver screen wave of promotion, how's it doing? Really? Dan Bobkoff takes a look.
Lego may have gotten its start in the 30s, but things are still pretty awesome! Yeah! The Lego movie is a huge hit, already raking in about $185 million in the U.S. And the company's sets of blocks are growing faster than the industry as a whole, and top what analysts call construction choice.
And Lego really dominates that category. They are the key marquee brand.
Stephanie Wissink is a senior research analyst at Piper Jaffray. She says Lego has done a good job changing with the times.
Now they're actually creating more storylines around the products.
And she says the company has managed to create a line of toys that appeal to everyone from two-year-olds to middle-aged adults. Lego is privately held, so you can't invest in the company, but you can invest with Legos.
Sets that were selling for $300 are selling for $1,200.
Ed Maturowski and his brother run BrickPicker.com, a site for Lego investors. He says the average set can appreciate 10 to 12% a year, and sometimes far more. That's better than stocks. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.
The Lego movie might not get top billing, but the Oscars are this weekend, and we thought it was a good chance to talk about technology in the movies and how the movies often get it wrong, whether depicting the future or even sometimes the present. Sarah Wanenchuk writes for the blog Cyborgology. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Do you have a sense of how people successfully work around this problem of guessing at what the future might look like technology-wise?
One of the things that I've actually seen a lot of movies that are set in the near future doing is that they really change very little. They might change some of how things like cell phones actually look or how we use them, but it's not like whacked out distant future stuff. It's stuff that we can look at and go, okay, yeah, I could look at that and probably, never having used it before, I could probably figure it out.
What about worst offenders? Are there movies that you've seen that, you know, are just like the most ridiculous and in hindsight, totally unrealistic depictions of the future of technology?
I think that there have been a lot of thrillers in the past 20 years or so that have tried to do something with the internet, usually stalkers and the internet or hacking and the internet. And my personal favorite example, and this is a movie probably nobody has seen, and it's called .com for Murder.
Even the title doesn't make sense.
I know. It's about the serial killer who works through chat rooms, but he also has a virtual reality set up.
And, of course he does.
And nothing that happens is actually possible. And it's wonderfully, wonderfully bad.
Sarah, I know that some people have complained to me about the WikiLeaks movies because you're basically making a movie about something that mostly happens on the internet and that doesn't usually translate all that well on the screen.
yeah, it's not very interesting. But one of the things that I've noticed happening a little more, and I think that we actually have Sherlock to thank, the show to thank for that, is showing the text that's being delivered through texting. Not on a screen, but actually...
In the air.
In the air, yeah. The screen that the viewer is looking at. And one of the reasons why I think that's so awesome is that it becomes almost like comic books and dialogue bubbles. It grips the emotions of the viewer much, much more than just looking at a screen would do. So I think you're going to be seeing more and more movies and TV doing that.
Sarah Wanenchek is a doctoral candidate at the University of Maryland. She also writes for the blog Cyborgology. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You can, by the way, find a list of some of the most egregious tech design movie fails on our website with video, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.